Good morning. This is Bishop Phoebe Rofe of the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. Each Thursday morning, we broadcast live from WYXR 91.7 FM in Crosstown Concourse, right in Memphis. And we have the opportunity to speak with a guest in the studio about their ministry and their work and the role of faith in their life. And we always start the show with the saint of the day. So June 1st is the day when we remember the life of Justin, a man who served the church in the second century, so quite a long time ago, but whose efforts we still remember to this day. Justin was born into a Greek-speaking pagan family in about the year 110 in Samaria. So he wasn't a Christian. He was educated in Greek philosophy and really grappled with lots of various philosophical ideas. And at a certain point, all of this knowledge left him really restless. He was searching for something more. And during a walk along the beach at Ephesus, which is found in current day Turkey, he began a conversation with a stranger. And this stranger was a Christian, and the stranger told him about Jesus Christ. So let me just pause there and say, when those of us who have faith in God and a higher power, however it is we understand God to be, when we share our testimony, when we share our beliefs with others in a way that is inviting and non-judgmental, we can literally help to change the course of a person's life. Because that's what happened for Justin. Justin, in writing about this encounter years later, wrote, and I quote, "Straightway, a flame was kindled in my soul, and a love of the prophets and those who are friends of Christ possessed me." And so that random encounter, if we believe in things that are random, or maybe it was the working of the Spirit, actually led Justin to become a Christian. And he, I don't want to say he turned aside from all of the other Greek philosophers that he'd been studying, but he considered Christianity to be his primary philosophy. In about the year 150, Justin moved to Rome, and of course he was trained as a philosopher, and so he did what many philosophers did at that point. He started a school, but in his case, his school was about Christian philosophy as opposed to one of the Greek philosophers. And he was so on fire because of his belief in Jesus that he got into lots of debates where he defended Christianity against two charges. One was the charge of the Greeks that Christianity was completely irrational. It didn't make sense that God, if you see God as this omniscient being, would reduce God's self into a human body and suffer, and certainly suffer death. The second charge was against disloyalty to the empire. Right at the time, Rome wanted people to pledge allegiance to the Roman Empire, and Christians would not put anything above God. So Justin was an ardent defender of the faith, and in one of the public debates that he got into, he was accused of ignorance and immorality. He accused someone of ignorance and immorality, and this person brought legal charges against him. So six of his students, they were arrested along with Justin. When he was brought before the Roman authorities, they offered him the chance to renounce his faith and have a lesser sentence, or if they refuse to do so, they would be put to death. And Justin and his six students all chose to put their primary allegiance to Jesus to the very end. And so in the year 167, they were all put to death. So we remember Justin, I think, for a number of reasons. Number one, it's a reminder that sharing our faith with others is a really important tool of evangelism and helps the Christian faith, or if you are Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu, whatever your faith tradition is, when we share it, it can spread. And secondly, do we believe in something enough to die for it? And for Justin, what he believed in enough to die for was Jesus Christ. So we give thanks for those persons whose willingness to suffer for the faith continue to be an inspiration to us, that we may have courage in our day and our time to do the same. So this morning, we have a special guest in the studio, Andy Nix. Andy is a faithful Episcopalian in our diocese as a member of Grace St. Luke's Church. He has a BA from Rhodes and an MBA from the University of Memphis. And after a corporate career for many years that included stints at Service Master and FedEx, among other places, he got involved with a very innovative organization called My City Rides, which I think was founded in 2017. And he also has a podcast himself called Mobility Matters. So I think we have lots of things to talk about. So Andy, welcome to Faithfully Memphis. So we normally start the show by asking our guests to share a little bit about the role of faith in their life as they were growing up.
So faith was definitely a significant part of my childhood. I grew up going to Episcopal schools on the East Coast and helping others, or that notion of we're all in this together. Everyone is human and imperfect, and that part of our reason for being here is to help folks and community. And as I grew up, I became more and more involved with our parish and Grace St. Luke's throughout my professional career. And as our kids were growing up, became more and more aware of what a positive effect it has on me and my own spiritual journey when I'm dedicating time to helping others. And this program is such a fantastic way to do that, because it can be truly transformational for an individual to go from a situation of transportation insecurity to true mobility, in that it opens up so many doors and different areas for their lives that just really resonated with me. And providing folks with a path and a light, if you will, really resonates with from a faith perspective for me. And it's missional work for me.
So we know that transportation is a real barrier for people. And I wonder, what was it about this idea? And I certainly want you to be able to share a little bit about sort of the work of My City Rides. But what was it about this particular idea that sort of captivated your interest to get you to want to be involved?
I think the thing that captivated me the most about this program and the potential and the notion of it was when I came on board and started working for Jay, there was nothing but just an idea. But the fact that it is such a pervasive challenge for folks, transportation insecurity, that is. It impacts every aspect of their of people's lives. It has a large influence over where people can live, work, shop, play, get health care, buy food, learn, everything, particularly in a community like Memphis where things are spread apart and public transportation frequency has its challenges. And so the fact that transportation impacts every aspect of someone's life and that it makes it just geometrically more challenging, and that scooters are not an unproven solution. It's the way the rest of the world gets to work and where they need to go. We're behind here in the U.S. It's a solution that makes economic, environmental, and social sense. And in addition to all those things, and taking one of the biggest challenges many, many underserved, underrepresented folks in our community face, takes that, levels it, levels the playing field, and does it in a way that is fun. That's magic, right? I mean, this is not a silver bullet solution in that it doesn't work for everybody, but it is a great solution for a wide spectrum of folks across the community. And it can help solve one of their biggest challenges and put some joy into their life associated with solving that problem and the empowerment and autonomy and just general fun ride, which is absolutely spectacular.
So Andy, if I were a person and I just showed up at your facility on Summer Avenue, what is the process? Like, how would I be able to walk away with the scooter? First, could I walk away with a scooter, or would I need to wait weeks or months? How does it work?
Well, flyers are our program participants. We call them flyers because riding a scooter kind of feels like flying. And if somebody wants to become a flyer, the process for that is to first off go to our website and fill out a brief application. Then where we verify their employment, student status, or income, insurability, and then with our broker. Then once that comes back, that takes up to a couple of days, 24 to 48 hours. Then individuals, you'll get an email saying, congratulations, sign up for Scooter School. Here's when the next Scooter School offerings are. Scooter School is the course that we put folks through, preparing them to take the state licensing test. There's a written component. I'm sorry, there's a classroom component and an on-bike component. That training happens here on our campus on a secured lot and is led by off-duty MPD officers and state troopers. Once someone has gone through Scooter School, we meet them at driver services when they take their test. We bring a bike so they can do an on-bike test. And once they have passed, they schedule a time to come in, do their paperwork, get sized for their gear, and ride out on their bike. The whole process can be accomplished in as little as 7 to 10 days. Sometimes it can take a little bit longer just based on schedules and Scooter Schools and driver services, when folks can get in there and that kind of thing. But if somebody is motivated and they do their part and keep things moving along, they can go from application to on bike within 10 days. For those that would like to learn more or get involved with My City Rides, there are a couple things that they can do. The first is, by all means, check out our website at www.mycityrides.org. We have a robust website that's got lots of information about the program. You can read about some of our flyers. You can learn how it works and all of those kinds of things. And as well, we are a nonprofit. And if folks would like to make a donation, they can do that there. Also, I invite folks to come by our new campus. We're 3155 Summer Avenue. It's the old Al's Honda location, about halfway between Highland and Tillman. We have the beautiful campus that we moved into about 6 months ago that we were specifically renovating to be a welcoming community space. And we invite folks to come by and see the operation firsthand, talk to our team, and learn more about how they can get involved.
Wow, that's amazing. And so how much would it cost me to do this?
Well, we have two different types of offerings. We have new vehicles, two types of new vehicles, and used vehicles. The new vehicles are $139 a month or $149 a month for 36 months. Okay. This is an ownership model. So somebody is purchasing that and they are building their credit while they're participating in the program. We basically train, equip, and support folks through that purchase. We get them ready to take the test. We help them to make a decision about if this is a good fit for them or not. The scooter is a good option. And then not only do they get the vehicle, but they get the training, basic liability insurance, preventative maintenance, both of those for 3 years, as well as all of the safety gear and a wraparound community. And they own everything at the end.
That seems like a really cost-efficient way for someone to really have like horizons expanded. I wonder, I'm sure you've heard lots of stories from people in the time that you've been associated with My City Rides. Can you maybe share one or two stories about how participating in this program has impacted someone's life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have, you know, we have helped a number of folks. So far, we've put 452 people out on scooters in the program. 143, I believe, at last count of those folks have graduated, meaning they own their bike. They have the title outright. And these folks come from a wide spectrum of the community, right? We actually have one individual who's in the program now, who for a period of time was unhoused and was actually sleeping behind in the alley behind our original shop. And she was able to pull some things together, go through rehab, get on track, and then apply to the program once she had gone through those and gotten a job. And now she is riding her scooter everywhere and has reconnected with her family and is able to visit grandchildren that live, you know, within 50 miles. And her entire life has turned around because of the hard work that she did herself, but also because of the access or the extended reach that the transportation provides to her in every aspect of how she lives her life. That's one story. Another story, or another type of a way that we're helping folks that was not initially as apparent to us, is from a mental health perspective. One of my employees, who was originally a flyer, talks about how empowering and liberating having his scooter is, to so that he knows he can get where he needs to. And if he needs to get somewhere to take care of his kids, regardless of when that is, or even just to go for a ride to the grocery store to get food for his family, and know that he is empowered to do that and has the ability to get where he needs to go when he needs to get there and have some fun on the way doing it.
I hadn't even thought about the mental health aspects. I think for those of us who have always had access to transportation, it's something that never even occurs to us. So I know that we are anticipating the development of Blue Oval, which is outside of Memphis. So if you're living in Memphis and you don't have a stable source of transportation, those jobs may not even be available. And I kind of wonder, Andy, from just an equity or a justice standpoint, how this program of allowing people to purchase their own scooters, in your mind, is playing a role in this larger conversation about the justice issues here in Shelby County.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Well, Memphis is huge from a geographic footprint perspective. Memphis is actually larger than New York City with a 12th of the population. So stuff's far apart and people can't get to work. We have a public transit system. I'm not here to beat up on them. They're doing the best they can with a limited budget, working on expanding. But to put things in perspective, okay, 6% of the jobs in the greater Memphis area are accessible with frequent public transit. Okay? That's how, okay? 3% of the residences fall into that category. So if you're going to use public transportation to get to the job and you're going to do it in an efficient way, you've got to be one of the 3% that lives somewhere near frequent public transit. And then you've got to work in one of the 6% of employers that have easy access. So it frequently takes folks 2-3 hours plus to get to work and then to get home from work. That's a whole nother job. Right? Leveling that playing field and empowering folks with the ability to turn that 2 or 3 hour commute into a 15 minute, less than 30 minute commute, also one in which they're having fun, is an incredible transformational aspect of building a higher quality life. And until we as a society start to shift priorities of what we are willing to tolerate and what we are not willing to tolerate, we're going to have folks that don't have equal access. And one of the things about this program is it provides that access. It extends reach for folks. I've got people that live in Raleigh and work at the airport, or live in 38126 by FedEx Forum and work in Collierville, and are able to do that on their scooters.
Andy, I wonder, what role, if any, does your faith play in the motivation for you to engage in this type of work? Obviously, you had a very successful career in traditional, you know, Fortune 500, or I guess with FedEx, Fortune 100 companies, and yet you made the decision to join a startup. Clearly, we can hear the passion in your voice. And I'm just wondering, you know, what's the role of faith in this?
Well, you know, I guess one of the things that really crystallized that for me, and there's kind of some synchronicity here, because you're talking about St. Justin, right? Who, I believe, when you were given the background information, he was a Samaritan. Well, that makes me think back. One of the times when my faith and the job really intersected was a couple of years ago, when Laura Geddes was giving the homily at Gray St. Luke's, and it was on the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan did three things, right? And the first was he came near, right? And then he patched up the guy, right? And then the third thing he did, he gave him a ride. Now, it wasn't a scooter. You know, most likely a burrow or what have you. But he gave him a ride to get where he needed to go, to get the care that he needed. And that just really landed with me. And shared that with my team. And it really came at a moment when we had been navigating pandemic and all manner of changes or challenges. And it was really just a huge connection that was just like a turbocharger on energy and passion. And that flows through the faith.
I love that. And I'm sure that Laura Geddes, as a priest, will be happy to know that someone actually remembered her sermons. So often we preach and we don't really know, like, who remembers or what sticks from all the nuggets that we put. So I wonder, Andy, what are the plans currently for the possibilities of expanding this program? You mentioned having served about 450 people, and yet I envision many more people in the region who could benefit from this program.
Oh, yes. We are just getting started. Within the last 6 months, we moved into our new campus on Summer Avenue, which we've gone from 2,000 square feet over here by Crosstown to 20,000 square feet and a couple of acres where we can do our training. We've got our warehouse there, a big maintenance shop where we can do all of the work, classrooms, community rooms, a retail shop. That facility will let us go from serving a fleet of several hundred to serving a fleet of several thousand here in Memphis. And that's location one. We have started to dip our toe in expanding a little bit. We've got a licensing agreement with a nonprofit in Branson, Missouri, that is rolling out, or that has rolled out, My City Rides Branson, because that's a small, isolated community with no public transportation, a heavily service-based economy, and nowhere for those service workers to live or way for them to get to work in close proximity. So we've got a partner there that's expanding. We envision doing things like that along the way. Our primary focus is Memphis. Mm-hmm. We were born here, and that's where our big passion is, and our number one goal is getting folks on scooters in Memphis. And we see in our strategic plan getting to a fleet of about 1,000 actively in the program at any given time over the next 3 to 4 years.
And I love the fact that at this facility, which I have actually toured on Summer Avenue, all the services are right there. You can look at all the different models of scooters in the storeroom. You can buy helmets and jackets. You can have them serviced there. I mean, everything can take place right there. So I think from that standpoint, it's kind of a one-stop shop, which is, again, something that you're doing to make it easier for people to kind of plug into this service. So, I mean, you know, you're doing in a sense, it's a commercial business, right? I mean, it's a business. But I wonder, for people who are really intrigued with this possibility, are there any opportunities for volunteers, or if a person wanted to in some way get engaged, maybe not by purchasing a scooter themselves, but to be supportive, how could people sort of get connected and support this initiative?
Well, the first place to start would be our website, which is www.mycityrides.org. And of course, financial support is always most welcome. And we are a business. We are a nonprofit, 501c3. And so we do have some development efforts and some needs in that area. And if folks are so inclined, we would very much welcome their financial support as we grow this program. And if they want to learn more about the organization, there are places on the website where they can sign up to get communications and hear about what's going on with the organization. I also encourage people to stop by the shop. We're at 3155 Summer Avenue. It's the old Al's Honda location, which actually way back in the day was apparently one of the original Harley dealerships in town, and rumor has it Elvis bought his Harleys there, which is kind of fun. But by all means, we invite people to come and see this beautiful space that we've got, to learn more about how we're helping folks and how they can plug in and get involved, whether with their time, talent, or treasure.
That's great to know. So I wonder, Memphis has sort of had a really rough year from so many perspectives, and the nightly news can be quite discouraging. And yet you seem to really have a sense of, you know, positivity and energy about the potential. So I wonder, what is it that's giving you a sense of hope right now as you are working with, I would imagine, a particular constituency that's really facing a lot of different challenges? So, and also sort of what keeps you from getting discouraged as you hear about all of the challenges that people are facing?
Yes, it is most definitely interesting and challenging times, and so challenging for so many in our community. And where I draw hope is when you see and hear about these things that are going on and people that are suffering and acting out that anger and confusion and lack of line of sight, if you will, to a better life and to a way out. And you know, my one of my core beliefs is that people want a high quality of life, and that they're willing to work for that. They just have to have a path and opportunity to be able to get there, right? To be able to build that high quality of life. And so many of so many of the systemic environment is not as supportive of that as it can be. We offer an option. This is a solution, and it's working. It's working at the individual level, and it is working over time, and we are helping people bridge a stability gap and build a higher quality of life. And so, well, you know, myself and my team, I've got a fantastic team of rock stars that, you know, we see the news and we absolutely get down about that, but have the opportunity to help people roll out on their new bike, provide this hope and ongoing support, which is another thing that is key. We are I'm a relationship guy. And so one of the things we really try and do is incorporate a real relational component into what is normally a very transactional process of vehicle purchase and work to get to know the flyers in our program. I'm a flyer coordinator, so they're kind of shepherds or ambassadors for the program that help folks along the way. And so it is, we have a relationship with our flyers. They're coming in to get their oil changed or even just to check things out or to hang out and see what's up. And this connection and sort of rubbing of shoulders and community, that shared community, I think is really what helps lift my team up, because it just is a daily reminder of these are people, and you know, we're people too. None of us are perfect, and everybody needs some help, and we're out there helping people, and we're doing it today. It, you know, it is something active that we can do to help break some of those cycles, and I think that's where the hope comes from.
You know, I just had a thought. We certainly have the one route being an individual realizes they need more stable transportation. They somehow hear about My City Rides and they come to you. Do you have any initiatives, Andy, where you've linked with an employer so that if an employer is even in the interview process asking people about their ability to get to the job site, could say, have you considered My City Rides as one alternative to public transportation if you don't have a car?
Yes, we partner with employers from the city of Memphis to Ewing Moving. There are a couple of dozen partners that we have and are actively looking for more. The way that we work with employers is we encourage employers to let their employees participate in the program through payroll deduction, which is an easy setup, and this can be a benefit that an employer can offer that can be budget neutral. All they have to do is set up payroll deduction. Now, they can also help offset that cost if they so choose, and there are interesting ways to do that that I'd love to talk to any interested employers about, but that is a benefit the employer can provide to their employees that can be completely transformational. Also, the employer has a vested interest in their employees having reliable transportation and arriving at work ready to work, ready to hustle, so they have not spent their hustle trying to get to work. And so this is a fantastic way for employers to help their employees kind of bridge that gap.
So if anyone in our listening audience in Shelby County is an employer and might be interested in helping their employees find a more stable source of transportation, definitely reach out to My City Rides. I'm sure that Andy would be more than happy to have a conversation with you about this. Well, Andy, thank you so much for being part of the conversation today. It's always, I think, inspiring for people to hear about some of the positive things that are taking place and not always such a focus on the negative. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I loved being here with you this morning.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. We can be found anywhere you normally hear podcasts, including Apple Music and Spotify. So we encourage you to not only listen, but also to like us and to give us comments and feedback about any ideas you may have for future shows or something that we've already broadcast. We hope that everyone will have a good start to the summer. It is the beginning of June, and so we're going to have a series of shows, sort of one-offs over the course of the summer. You know, we have been doing 4 to 5 shows on a particular theme, and that has worked really well. But we thought during the summer, we might just be able to explore a number of different conversations with different people about different topics. So please do continue to listen to us. And until next week, friends, stay safe and stay positive. We'll be right back.